like to get out of Saudi Arabia during this time which the contracts are froze. And so when we're looking at this issue, it might not be that Joe Biden is particularly concerned with Yemen. He hasn't yet reversed the designation of Ansar Allah or the Houthis as a terrorist organization, which is essentially blocking aid from going inside of Yemen, the number one humanitarian catastrophe on the planet at this moment, as per the United Nations. They're the ones that declared it as such. But what we're seeing is instead is that there is this pressuring of Saudi Arabia perhaps to normalize ties with Israel. And that's why we're seeing such a spotlight being shined on the Saudis now. I would argue it's nothing to do with their human rights violations. There's been very little talk of the human rights violations, but a lot of pressure seems to be applied on them. So it's a bit of a leap of the imagination to believe that suddenly they care about human rights, when under the Obama administration, where Joe Biden was vice president, they're the ones that essentially started and backed this war.
Indeed. The social media reaction with the backdrop here that perhaps Biden's just a smoother operator trying to negotiate a little bit more out of the deal. What's social media saying?
First comment we've got here reads, after 100,000 deaths in the war in Yemen, Italy finally stops the sale of 12,700 bombs to Saudi Arabia and United Arab Emirates, just like Biden's move too late. And we've got, and then they say at the end there, but at least Italy will actually go ahead with it. And then we've got another one here by a user called Mason who says, it's all a lie about the arms freeze. It's just procedural. The media are making too much out of this.
Well, we're at least casting a critical gaze there, Robert. The next story, this is an interesting one. Perhaps for a country with such a large percentage of Muslim population, perhaps Kosovo normalizing ties with the occupation force in Tel Aviv was not something we thought we'd be seeing so swiftly here.
Yes, it's something that's came a little bit out of the blue, but it indicates many different things here. We do know that Kosovo has had these connections with Israel for some years, like the United Arab Emirates did, but it's a smaller player on the grand scheme of things here. But of course, this has been seen as an insult to many Muslims around the world, the fact that yet again another country with many Muslims in who reside inside of it are normalizing ties with Israel. There were those connections made as well last year as well, so this is not completely without precedent here. However, what this does indicate, and I think this is the context, the wider context in which it should be viewed as, is that the Biden administration has paved the way for more of this to happen, and he's vowed, and so has Antony Blinken, his Secretary of State, that they are going to go ahead and try and get more countries to normalize ties with Israel. But there has been some pushback. Reportedly, the EU today has threatened Kosovo if it wants to move its embassy to Jerusalem instead of Tel Aviv. So Jerusalem al-Quds, if it's moved there, there may be some backlash.
But what's in this for Kosovo? Praise from the Americans? Because this was a deal brokered by President Trump.
Yes, exactly. And so when we're looking at this here, and again, this is something that's been carried on through the Biden administration here, it does look like Kosovo, like others, will probably have some small minor gains here, but a lot of bullying goes on. So, for instance, the United States can use its leverage in order to get small countries to normalize ties with Israel, and countries which are not so much economically dependent, like we've seen in the case of Sudan as well. That's the way they sort of blackmailed them there. And so United States pressure wins out at the end of the day.
Unfortunately. And what are some of the viewers saying online?
The first comment we've got here reads, normalization with the Israeli apartheid regime has only one explanation, which is theft of more and more Palestinian lands. Kosovo wants to prove its existence through an apartheid regime, that's Israel. And then the next one here we've got says, well, isn't it great to see Biden doing exactly the same as what Trump did? Proves that the U.S. doesn't change through elections.
Wise words, softly spoken. Thank you, Robert Inlakesh. And that's where we leave you. Until next time.
first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, أو you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, now we invite you to listen to a short speech by Brother Khalil Ja'far. He's going to talk about the significance of Lady Fatima's personality.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد ثم الصلاة والسلام على آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. First and foremost, on this happy occasion, I would like to congratulate all of you and your families on the wiladat of Sayyida Zahra, Sayyidatun Nisa al-Alameen. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Muhammad, the daughter and the most beloved person to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. The status of this exceptional and great lady is obviously not unknown to us. And I want to share just two things with you and inshallah end. To show you how much knowledge Sayyida had. Because we normally speak of her purity. Of course, in her purity, she's absolutely unmatched. But in her knowledge as well, just to give you an example, and this is something I stumbled on myself by accident, and it just brought this, you know, great realization to how special and how knowledgeable she was. When we speak of knowledge, right? I mean, typically, when we talk of nobility, it's impossible to speak of noble character without bringing in the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as you know, representing that. When you speak of loyalty or wafa, you cannot speak about it unless you bring Abul Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salam, for example. He represents that. When you talk of courage or knowledge or oratory, you bring Imam Ali alayhi salam immediately. You talk of generosity, Imam Hassan, he has to be in that picture. You speak of sacrifice, martyrdom, even before I say the name, you know it's Imam Hussein. He symbolizes it. When you speak of modesty, chastity, purity, you speak of Fatima alayhi salam, right? But look at the issue of knowledge. I found the khutbah, when I read the khutbah of Sayyida alayhi salam after the demise of her father, when she went to Masjid Nabawi and she addressed the Muslims in front of the Caliph Abu Bakr, the words she said to the people, she said, "O Muslims, you are downtrodden, you are lowly people, your neighbors were looking at you like vultures, you drank water from the side, from the gutters, you buried your daughters alive, you married your stepmothers. You had no values. You built idols of stone and wood and you prostrated yourself before that. Allah saved you through my father." This is part of her khutbah. And then she quotes an ayat of Quran. وَكُنْتُمْ عَلَىٰ شَفَا حُفْرَةٍ مِّنَ النَّارِ فَأَنْقَذَكُمْ مِّنْهَا. You were on the brink of the pit of the fire, but he saved you through my father. When was this khutbah given? 11 AH. One day I'm browsing through Nahjul Balagha. Go read Nahjul Balagha, Sermon 26. Imam Ali alayhi salam speaks, he quotes the same words of Fatima. He does not quote this verse of Quran, but he says the same words. "O people, you are lowly, you drank water by the side, you worship idols, you buried your daughters until Allah saved you through Muhammad." When did the Imam Ali give khutbahs after he became the Caliph of the Muslims? 37 AH. So Fatima's khutbah 11 AH, Imam Ali's khutbah 37 at the earliest. The difference is what? 26 years. 26 years later, a man who says saluni, saluni, is quoting and taking and borrowing from Fatima alayhi salam. She cannot be an ordinary person. You cannot say she is emotional. This is knowledge that comes from a source beyond anyone's imagination. She is ma'suma. Her hadith is binding, is hujjah, is part of Sharia. If she says something, it is like Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq has said it, Imam Ali alayhi salam has said it. So we need to understand this. And then, you know, when it comes to, of course, her purity, and I'm coming to an end here, I just want to share just a few words of poetry in Urdu that are really very nice. And a person, the poet is trying to describe that to talk about Fatima, how difficult it is. He says, Badro sidra ko sajalu to tera zikr karu. Hadde firdos me aau to tera zikr karu. Abe kausar se nahalu to tera zikr karu. Sar pe Quran uthalu to tera zikr karu. Taj ismat hai tera name girami zahra. Asiya Maryam tujhe deti hai salami zahra. He says, when I have adorned the heavens, then I dare speak of you. When I reach the uppermost limits of paradise, then I shall dare to take your name. After I wash and bath myself in the water of Kauthar, and I take the Quran on my head, then I dare to take your name. Your first name, and you are introduced by the crown of infallibility. Asiya and Maryam, who are praised for their purity in the Quran, they send their salams on you, O Zahra. I want to end with something that I have said previously. I have actually said it two or three times at different centers sometimes. There may be a few of you who haven't heard this. For those who have heard, it is good to be refreshed, just to show you how special and how blessed we are to be the Shias of Fatima, to be the Shias of a personality who says, I will not enter paradise until I take you with me. Okay. She is really some, our enemies know her value. That is why they try and water down her importance. We don't know her value, right? A scholar has explained this in a very beautiful way. He says, look, the Prophet of Islam said that a son is a blessing, is a ni'mah, but a daughter is a mercy, is a rahmah. And on the day of judgment, Allah will question you about his blessings, but not about his mercy. In other words, the Prophet was describing how a daughter is a rahmah. Okay. So this is one hadith. The other hadith of the Prophet is that in the battle of Khandaq, when Imam Ali alayhi salam was going to fight against Amr bin Abd al-Wad, and there was no one else to fight him, and everything depended on that battle of Imam Ali alayhi salam, the Prophet said, "Baraza al-imanu kullu ala al-kufri kulli." Complete iman has now gone forward to fight against complete kufr. So that's another hadith. The other hadith of the Prophet is that a man's iman is incomplete until he gets married. When he gets married, then his faith is complete. The other hadith of the Prophet ﷺ is that the feet of a mother are jannat for her children. The other hadith of the Prophet ﷺ is Al-Hasanu wal-Husayn Sayyidi Shababi Ahlil Jannah. The ayat of Quran is that, O Rasul, we have sent you وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have sent you as a mercy for alameen. Now bring all this together and see Fatima in this light. A daughter is rahmah for the father. The Prophet is rahmatun lil alameen. Fatima is rahmah for rahmatun lil alameen. Ali is complete iman, but a man's iman is completed when he gets married. Fatima completes the iman of kul iman. And Hassan and Hussein are Sayyidi Shababi Ahlil Jannah. But Fatima's feet are Jannah for Hassan and Hussein. How then do you describe a lady who is Rahmah for Rahmatul Lil Alameen, who completes the Iman of Kul Iman, whose feet is Jannah for Sayyidi Shababi Ahlil Jannah? We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this blessed night. Oh Allah, we ask you for the sake of Fatima al-Batul al-Zahra Sayyidatu Nisa'i al-Alameen. Oh Allah, forgive us our sins this night. We ask Allah to grant us the Shafa of Zahra alayhi salam yawm al-Qiyamah. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'u al-Alim.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
روحي كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Ocean of Dua.
Inna inni as'aluka al-huda wa at-taqwa wal-afafa wal-ghina.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear listeners, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Rarsi, and we're gonna be with you with another edition of The Ocean of Dua. In this version of the program, inshallah, we will discuss the true meaning of prayer and dua, the value of prayer, ways of reaching the Almighty Allah, acceptance, and also benefits of dua. So stay with us. In order to answer the very important question, which was about the ability of supplication to change something which is the invariable, which is subjected to the invariable will of Allah, we said that the Almighty Allah is the creator of cause and causality, and this law which reigns over the universe is actually reigned by the will of the Almighty Allah, by the divine will, but this being reigned over is by the law of causality, by itself. And throughout the holy verses of the Holy Quran, we talked about the law of mediate causation, which was tasbib, and that the Almighty Allah uses different means if He wills and if He desires to have a change in this universe. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنًا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Now, the law of facilitation is another law which is a kind of sub-branch of the law of causation, and is really close to قانون التسبيب, or the mediate causation. This law implies that Allah places His servants in the course of means leading toward the good. For instance, when Almighty Allah wills the well-being of a sick person, He would direct him to a physician who is able to diagnose his illness, and He directs him to consume a medicine which would cure his ailment. Likewise, if Allah desires good for His servants, He leads him to the means of good and guidance. He leads him to the asbabul khayr, and if He wills to bestow upon him a provision and rizq, He would actually lead him to means of provision through having a job, through going out and doing best. And if He decides the opposite of this, then He would keep the servant away from its means. We have different verses of the Holy Quran attesting to this fact. All we said is in the hands of the Almighty Allah and is subject to His command and power. The Holy Quran says, whatever mercy Allah unfolds for the people, no one can withhold it, and whatever He withholds, no one can release it after Him, and He is the Almighty, the All-Wise. Or in chapter Talaq, we have a part of the third verse that says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَالِغُ أَمْرِ. Indeed, Allah carries through His command. Or the verse that says, إِن يَنصُرْكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ. If Allah helps you, no one can overcome you. وَإِن يَخْذُلْكُمْ فَمَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَنصُرُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ. But if He forsakes you, who will help you after Him? Of course, these verses need further explanation regarding different aspects of actually monotheism and the divine rules they're talking about. But the thing that matters to us right now is the reign of the Almighty Allah's will in this universe. It is talking about the monotheism, Him being the absolute cause in the universe.
What? do we make supplication? And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is Al-Alim. He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as Al-Jawad. He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean and he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water, the ocean is infinite. In as much as your vessel is large, that is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, "Har khujo mushkil javab onjo ravad." Wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. Har khujo keshti ab onjo ravad. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. Ab kamju tishnagi avar bedast. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. Ta beju shad ab az bala va past. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God, and the merciful God will come towards you. Paradise, thank you Allah. Now that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God speaks with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever.
The ocean of dua.
In chapter Ra'd, in the 11th verse, the Holy Quran says, وَإِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ سُوءًا فَلَا مَرَدَّ لَهُ. And when Allah wishes to visit ill on people, there is nothing that can avert it. وَمَا لَهُم مِّن دُونِهِ مِن وَالٍ. And they have no protector besides him. Or the verses that we previously mentioned. Indeed, your Lord does whatever he desires. Or indeed, Allah does whatever he desires. These are all the verses that are attesting to this very fact, that there is absolute reign of the Almighty Allah's will in this universe. And that all that be said is in the hands of the Almighty Allah, and is subject to his power. In the Holy Quran, we have different attributes for the Almighty Allah. وَاللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّهُ. There is no God but him. الْمَلِكُ الْقُدُّوسُ السَّلَامُ الْمُؤْمِنُ الْمُهَيْمِنُ الْعَزِيزُ الْجَبَّارُ الْمُتَكَبِّرُ. The Sovereign, the All-Holy, All-Benign, the Secure and the Dominant. All these attributes are pointing to monotheism and him being the absolute cause. We will, inshallah, continue actually extending the answer to this very important question with talking about the relation between the will of Allah and the law of causality more in details in the next program. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Be with in the limelight.
Although it is well recorded that exercise can help to relieve anxiety and even help to prevent panic attacks and reduce the physical symptoms, in the moment, it can feel as though exercise makes those symptoms worse or even triggers them. Health practitioner Sarah Looper at Keep Moving Care said it's important that you don't let anxiety symptoms, like a quickened heart rate, irregular breathing, or a tight chest, stop you from being active. We now present you an article written by Natalie Morris. The piece is titled How to Exercise Safely When You Have Anxiety. The article has been taken from the metro.co.uk website. Please stay with us to hear more of Natalie Morris's article. When anxiety symptoms hit, the idea of exercising can be unthinkable. Why should you put yourself in a situation when you are voluntarily sweating, short of breath, and have a pounding heart, when anxiety already does this to your body? And although it is well recorded that exercise can help to relieve anxiety and even help to prevent panic attacks and reduce the physical symptoms, in the moment it can feel as though exercise makes those symptoms even worse or even triggers them. But just because strenuous exercise and anxiety share the same physical signs, that doesn't mean one is causing the other. Far from it. Health practitioner Sarah Looper at Keep Moving Care said it's important that you don't let anxiety symptoms, like a quickened heart rate, irregular breathing, or tight chest, stop you from being active. Sarah Looper shared what happens to the body when it experiences anxiety, how to exercise safely when anxiety, and the science of how working out links to the sympathetic nervous system and relieves anxiety. Sarah Looper said, essentially, anxiety is the body's reaction to stress, adding, everybody will experience anxiety at certain times, and it is incredibly common to feel its symptoms in the run-up to events, such as job interviews, entering a new social environment, or taking an examination. For most, this kind of anxiety acts as a driving force as it highlights the significance of experiences and urges a person to excel. Sarah Looper said this type of anxiety comes and goes and doesn't impact day-to-day activities. However, she said, for some, the symptoms of anxiety rarely fade and can be so debilitating that it starts to affect every area of your life. There are several theories behind what causes anxiety, however. It is the fight or flight theory that is referred to most often. Sarah Looper says, the fight or flight response is an inducement by the body in a reaction to something that it perceives to be of danger. She added, when the body identifies what it believes to be a threat, stimulation of the sympathetic nervous system, which oversees the body's involuntary response to stressful circumstances, sends messages to the adrenal glands. This releases the stress hormones adrenaline, cortisol, and noradrenaline, which in turn causes the typical symptoms of anxiety. These can include shaking, sweating, feeling queasy, lack of concentration, and breathlessness. She added, it is thought that the fight or flight response derives from our ancestors when we were required to survive in open spaces with several threats. So how do we tackle this physical response in order to exercise safely and without making ourselves more worried or more stressed? Sarah said, before starting any exercise regime, it's important to understand your objectives, She added, a positive gained from lockdown is that a majority of people are no longer exercising with the sole purpose of burning calories. There is a renewed understanding of the gains working out has on your mental health. Exercising in the morning helps regulate the body, as working out calms the central nervous system. This is especially important in the morning, as it is when cortisol levels are at their highest. They gradually fall throughout the day. Hence, this is why anxiety sufferers tend to feel that their symptoms of anxiety are at their highest when they wake up in the morning. Sarah added that morning workouts also help to regulate your circadian rhythm, the natural internal process that activates the body's sleep and wake cycle. Health practitioner Sarah Luper explained, lack of sleep can fuel anxiety, as sleep poverty intensifies anxiety by triggering the brain's amygdala and insular cortex, both of which are responsible for the processing of emotions. Alter your perspective with regards to the purpose of exercise. Recognize that any exercise works to suppress the impact of anxiety and improve sleep hygiene. She said, shifting your objective of what you want to achieve through a workout alleviates the pressure of feeling the need to partake in intense cardio or excessive weightlifting. This will ensure that there is no further buildup of anxiety surrounding the need to exercise and suppress any symptoms that mirror that of a panic disorder. Trying to do too much too soon when it comes to exercise could end up putting you off completely. And when you have anxiety or you're struggling with panic disorder, pushing yourself too hard can be counterproductive. But Sarah Luper says exercise still counts even if it isn't relentlessly intense. She says, studies indicate that a 10-minute walk can create the same benefits as a 45-minute workout with regards to easing anxiety disorders. If you are feeling breathlessness, experiencing an increased heart rate, or sweating due to the feeling of panic, do not feel obligated to take part in extreme cardio. She added, a short walk, some light stretches, or even some breath work all fall under the umbrella of exercise. Health practitioner Sarah Luper stressed, it is important to be safe. If you opt to implement breathing exercises into your routine, bear in mind that inhaling deeply may not be your area of focus, adding, there is a direct link between the inhalation of oxygen and the sympathetic nervous system, however, exhaling connects to the parasympathetic nervous system. She explained, the parasympathetic nervous system preserves energy and works to slow the heart rate, seeing that it oversees our ability to relax. Work to control your breathing and try not to take too many breaths in a short space of time. Sarah says, if recent events have taught us anything, it is the importance of structure. This is particularly true when it comes to exercise, but it's also important to be flexible. Structure aids in curbing procrastination and works to give our day's purpose. She added, I'm a huge advocate of structure, however, I advise lenience when it comes to exercise. Once a routine is established, those that exercise can feel that their workout regime dictates the rest of their day. In other words, they feel overly obligated to partake in their routine. This can create additional pressure, and it can be easy to feel that your workout dictates the rest of your day. Instead, Sarah Luper suggests loosely establishing a time to exercise, but you shouldn't feel forced to do it if you're not up to it, or not in a good mood. Listen to your body. Sarah Looper adds, if you're feeling pressured and it is fueling your anxiety, take a break. Do not beat yourself up over it. Instead, actively participate in something that you enjoy, whether that is as small as a lie-in or as big as a long walk.
تمام ارزش‌ها و صفاتی که انسان احترام می‌گذاره، همه این ارزش‌ها در علی ابن ابی طالب جمعه.
Human in general, whether a Muslim, non-Muslim, or even a disbeliever, respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
Imam Ali عليه الصلاة والسلام, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, the programs To My Brother, and I'm your host, Mehdi. We're talking about the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Please stay with us. Imam Ali alayhi salam, the most distinguished and extraordinary personality in Islam after the Holy Prophet Muhammad. His entire life is a struggle for the advancement of Islam, the universal religion prescribed by Allah for all of humanity. Imam Ali alayhi salam was the living miracle raised up by the Holy Prophet Muhammad himself, and was not only the successor and the executor of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, but as history testifies, he was also a great human being, a brave defender of Islam, a just and fair judge, a generous philanthropist, a champion of the people, and the most pious person of his time.
Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters in faith. Welcome to this segment of To My Brother, I'm Muhammad. And today, I'm going to read to you an aphorism of Imam Ali from Nahjul Balawa. Before that, let's go ahead and listen to the Arabic words, and after that, I'm going to read you the English translation. Stay with us.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام متى أشفي غيظي إذا غضبت أحين أعجز عن الانتقام فيقال لي لو صبرت أم حين أقدر عليه فيقال لي لو عفوت
Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali alayhi salam, used to say, "If I am angry, when shall I vent my anger? When I am unable to take revenge, and it be said to me, better you endure, or when I have power to take revenge, and it be said to me, better forgive."
Welcome back, dear friends. It's an honor to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio. The program's To My Brother, and we were discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali, alayhi salam. Now, one of the great lessons which we learn from Imam Ali, alayhi salam, is the importance of the Holy Quran, not just as a book in it of itself, but also the importance of the Holy Quran in our daily lives. Imam Ali, peace and blessings upon him, endeavored to collect the Quranic verses more than anyone else after the departure of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him and his holy household. Abu al-Mu'ayyad has reported that Imam Ali alayhi salam once said, "After the departure of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, I made a vow not to put on my cloak, my abba, unless I will collect all the Quranic verses. As a result, I did not do anything except after doing so, that is, collecting the Quranic verses, due to the great task I had undertaken." And so, dear friends, Imam Ali taught the interpretation of the Holy Quran to the people as well. And Ibn Abbas was distinguished among all the other companions and people for learning the interpretations of the Holy Quran. And it was Ibn Abbas who used to go to Imam Ali alayhi salam to learn the interpretations of the Holy Quran. And so, dear friends, we learn truly a profound lesson in this, that the Quran needs to play a very important role in our lives. And for all those who look up to the Quran, let them know, whether they are Shia or Sunni, that it was Imam Ali alayhi salam who compiled the Holy Quran, who collected the Quranic verses, and rather it was Imam Ali who was there when the Quran was being revealed to the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him and his holy household. A beautiful lesson brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Ali Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, about the personality of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
تمام ارزش ها و صفاتی که انسان چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به اسلام چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به هر دینی
human in general whether a muslim non-muslim or even a disbeliever respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib. This means Ali ibn Abi Talib is a global character who is respected by Sunnis, Shias, and even non-Muslims. Everyone Even the faithless people respect Imam Ali and his personal values.
وقتی شخصیت امیرالمومنین رو بشناسه در مقابل او خضوع میکند.
کل صبح و کل شب ایام تبک عینی به دمع مشتاق ایام قد لسعت حیت الهوا کبدی فلا تبي ولها ولا راغي
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم إني أسألك الأمان يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم.
O Allah, I ask you for the protection of the day when property will not avail, nor sons except he who comes with a heart free from evil.
وأسألك الأمان يوم يعض الظالم على يدي يقول يا ليتني اتخذت مع الرسول سبيلا.
And I ask you for protection on the day when the unjust one will bite his hands, saying, Oh, would that I had taken away with the messenger. And I ask you for protection on the day when the guilty shall be recognized by their marks, so they shall be seized by the forelocks and the feet. And I ask you for protection on the day when a father shall not give any satisfaction for his son, nor shall the child give any satisfaction for his father. Surely the promise of Allah is true.
IRIB English Radio. You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Now we invite you to listen to Brother Hassanain Rajabali.
Imam Ali used to wake up in the morning and go to work. Early in the morning. Early in the morning he goes and feeds the poor. Early in the morning he goes and finishes his dhikr and goes and works. Early in the morning he starts till he comes home. But late at night having finished his duties, his social duties. There are people in our community who are married, who are fathers, who don't even work and support their families. And they claim to be lovers of Ahlul Bayt. How can you be a lover of Ahlul Bayt if a man doesn't go and earn his living? That's the Holy Prophet once, I remember a history. Story. These stories are something that should be in our heart. These are the actions of the Quran, where a man comes and shakes his hand and it was rough, the Prophet kisses it. He was a farmer. And the man says, oh, Ya Rasulullah, why did you kiss it? He said, this is the hand that brings halal living. This is the hand that goes and works and earns a living. This is the hand of a person like Imam Ali alayhi salam. That he goes to work and he refuses, he gives his duty, he distributes, that he comes home with meager amount of wealth only to sustain his family. But no member of his family ever complained. No member. Yet they had an open door policy where people would come to their homes and Imam Ali used to feed the people. Look at the story. That Maythama Tammar is being held by Ibn Ziyad, who wants to execute him, and says, why do you love Ali ibn Abi Talib? Why do you follow that man? You and I in the same shoes, brothers and sisters. There is much to say. He says, why do you love? And Maytham looks at him and says, if you can find me someone better, I will follow him. What an answer to Ibn Ziyad. If you can find me someone better, then I will follow him. Do you have anyone better? And it's logical. If I have something lesser and better, you're a fool to follow lesser. So Maytham is using logical argument. Subhanallah, what wisdom. At the moment of your death, when Ibn Ziyad has captured you, where you know your time is coming, where you know you're going to be put on that stick, where you know you're going to be hung. Allahu Akbar. That kind of love, you cannot compare it with any other relationship.
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, medium wave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 41 meters, 7,300 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.